This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Education in the policy is currently laser-focused on engaging students in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and math, or the STEM subjects. The goal is to prepare future generations to prosper in the new global economy. So how do creative arts fit into this equation, and how can art and music education help drive innovation? Eric Booth has a richly varied background. He's been a Broadway actor, arts educator, business radio host. He is also author of several books, including The Music Teaching Artist Bible. He is widely referred to as the father of the teaching artist profession, and he's going to be keynote speaker at the New Hampshire Arts Education Partnership Conference this weekend. Eric, a pleasure to have you with us.
Pleasure to be with you, Virginia.
So what is a teaching artist, and how's that different than an art teacher?
Well, it's a good question, and we don't have a settled definition, but sort of the general attributes that apply to a teaching artist is that it is a practicing artist who chooses to bring educational skills into her artistic career, and she uses those educational skills for a variety of ends that can include enhanced learning in schools, but increasingly in other kinds of settings, like creative aging in senior centers or in healthcare facilities.
Our society functions with a lot of myths about creatives, right? That it's hard to put them inside of a bureaucratic or a corporate environment. How can you teach an artist to be a successful educator? I mean, can there be a formula with such a range of experiences?
There sure isn't a formula, and boy, you're right in there being a lot of myths out there. But I would say in the last 20 years or so, there's become a recognition that the skills of an educator sit quite comfortably with the natural impulses of art. Every conservatory and arts training program at a university across the country now has a way for artists to learn how to become a teaching artist. It's no longer a separate kind of, oh, now I got to go do the teaching gig to raise the rent, as much as this is just a part of what a 21st century artist does, and that's why it appears in training.
Right. And of course, when you're talking about artists, you're talking not just about artists and musicians, but writers, creative people. I've been reading about how a lot of teaching artists interpret your work. One of them, a blog I read, said something about you're emphasizing engagement before information. Can you give me an example of what that means?
Okay. I'm going to answer your question, and then right after that, I'm even going to change your definition of artist.
Okay.
Imagine if you're studying a Shakespeare sonnet, and instead of having the teacher give you a 5-minute lecture on sonnets, while internally you're rolling your eyes and suppressing yawns and thinking this is for people who actually care about this, what if instead of that, you had a teacher who got you thinking about the relevant emotional issues in the sonnet you're going to look at? Like if you were looking at Sonnet 29, a time when you felt depressed, and then you thought of something that matters deeply in your life and began to feel your spirits lift. What if you were invited to actually recognize those truths, experiential truths, inside yourself? Then you turn to Shakespeare's rather elegant way of expressing that exact same emotion, and then you turned to what are sonnets all about. The research shows you would be a whole lot more interested in finding out what makes a sonnet work and why people might actually have cared about them then and why people might still care about them now if you'd been personally engaged in the heart of that little artwork before you got pounded with information.
Mm. And because I have the internet, I know that Sonnet 29 is, "When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state." That's a good message for a teenager, I think.
It sure is.
You said you were going to challenge my definition of artist. Tell me how.
You were making the very common association that art is connected only to things done in artistic media.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this other residual definition of art that all people know that doesn't separate it from life. That's why you'll still hear a phrase like the art of bricklaying. You'll hear the medical arts referred. It's not just about making stuff in artistic media. It's about making stuff you care about a quality of engagement in any media. So it's plausible to say the art of bricklaying because it's fulfilling, it's original, it's valuable, it's meaningful, it matters a lot to both the bricklayer and the person who's whatever is being built. And I think we stand in much more historically valid ground when we hold that broad definition of art than when we use the rather narrow one that is common today that limits art making to artistic media.
We're speaking with Eric Booth. He's often referred to as the father of the teaching artist profession. He's going to be keynote speaker at the New Hampshire Arts Education Partnership Conference this weekend. So what's the argument that you make to administrators who say, look, we just don't have money for creative education anymore, arts education? Are you trying to integrate creativity into all of the different topics? And how do you make that argument to them?
Let me ask you this question as if we were asking all your listeners. Do you think every student in New Hampshire deserves a highly engaging school day?
Absolutely.
Even without being masters of reams of research, we know that high engagement equates with higher achievement. And many of the things we know that create higher engagement are what I describe as this broader definition of artistry, making stuff you care about. It takes some courage to include projects that enable kids to make stuff they care about in biology class and in, fifth grade social science. It takes a little more time to do that, but if schools choose to prioritize it, it can be done.
So you're talking about the engagement and interest of the student, but it sounds to me that a lot of this depends upon teachers. And, of course, you're going to be speaking this weekend at the New Hampshire Arts Education Partnership Conference. Speaking to people who do believe that art education is important, often underfunded in their schools, however, what's your message to them?
I guess my first message to them is start small and work under the radar. Maybe the biggest message is have courage and keep at it. Keep bringing the best of what you know as a creative educator in, even when the school system is not going out of its way to support that. But there's 100 small ways one can enhance the creative engagement of schools. We under-attend to how much can be done with the beginnings and endings of classes to actually give them a little creative pop. We under-attend to how many times we cannot just ask closed-end questions that have a single right answer, but that we can introduce the kind of fresh exploratory thinking and bold idea generation that more open-ended questions can bring into the mix. We even forget how playful we can make certain parts of a school day without costing anything. Just by adding a little thought experiment, by giving kids a way to imagine something different as they're doing their work.
Eric Booth, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Eric Booth is a pioneer in arts education and the author of several books, including the Music Teaching Artist's Bible. He's also an artist, an actor, and a musician, widely referred to as the father of the teaching artist profession, and he'll be the keynote speaker at the New Hampshire Arts Education Partnership Conference on October 25th and 26th. He's leading a workshop session on Friday. Want more information on Eric or on the conference this weekend? Go to wordofmouthradio.org.